you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 21. Matthew and chapter 21. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. Again, Spirit of God, where are we going to go? What are we going to know? What are we going to understand apart from your grace? So deal with us and help us in every way. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're coming to the end of that 21 of the 21 chapters. And as we there in chapter 21, as we've been looking at it, we're at in verse 21, and you'll recall that Peter is for all of that to be understood in the background. Peter is following our Lord, and Peter wants to know why John is following him. As Peter turns around and looked at John, and remember, God had given a command to Peter to arise and follow him. So Peter wants to know why John and then all the rest of them, James, Thomas, and the two disciples, why they're all there following. And they automatically did it because that would be understood. And therefore, he wants to know what to do. And Jesus answered and said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And then the command again to follow him. That's what he had to do. And we looked at that following and about following. We need to follow him and honor him in what we do. And we're to follow him. Why are we to follow him? Because, and remember, all the way we shared it together, where is he going to go? He's going to go to the cross. Why are Peter, James, and all of us going to follow? Because he died on the cross for us. That's what he did. Where are we going to find? He's going to take us to Calvary's cross. And there we're going to find ourselves in Christ, Christ paying the price for our sin. That's what we're going to find. And once we see that, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive him as our Savior, he then becomes the author and finisher of his saving grace. And we're to follow him. God has a wonderful plan for our life. And we're to find and discover that in a most wonderful way. There's awesome benefits. When we were dead in sins, we were dead. And we had zero understanding or exercise or experience of what it is to have life, L-I-F-E. Living experience, living and having that we had living, we didn't have life. God has life. God gives life. And until we received the Lord as our Savior, we didn't have any. So when God saves us and gives us life, we go down we have a whole nother way, a whole nother world. And we're looking at him. Where are we looking? We're looking for the exercise of life. Where's our life? Colossians 3 and 4. Christ, who is our life. We're looking at our Lord Jesus Christ that saves us, that we received as our Savior. We're looking to him in order to what? To live. We look to the air to breathe in order that we might have physical life. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if you can, in the process, and God, remember the illustration, you can even go to that part of it, not least to remind us a little bit of what we did, over to Acts chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20, picking up by me, and you will note the Apostle Paul, and we did it with all kinds of different ways, to remind what to follow. That's what the believer does. Believer gets saved and exercises life, in essence, following the outworking of God's wonderful plan for their life. And Peter, and here's Paul in verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know what's going to happen. And hang on to that, save except that the Holy Ghost witnesses to every sin in every city where I go, saying the bonds and affliction abide me. So wherever I'm going, I'm not going to find it easy at all. Verse 24, none of these things move me because I'm following. Neither count I my life dear unto myself or precious, so that I don't want to overvalue my life, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So I want to go and follow. That's what I want to do. And that's what Paul did all the way to 2 Timothy and 4. And where's Paul going to go? Yeah, Paul's going to go, and Nero's going to take his head. That's where he's going. So he's going to follow all the way. He knows, he's warned. Now, with that in mind, back over to John. And you would recall, in chapter 21, we read together in verse 19 and 20, that Peter was told how he was going to die. He was going to die by crucifixion. That's what he was told. Paul is going to die by losing his head. Now here's Peter. Peter, and we shared all about Peter. And Peter wants to know what's going to happen to John. Here's John following him. And what about him? And verse 21 again, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then, that's what he said to Peter. The saying got out, because the people, that other disciples that heard it, then went this saying abroad, they heard things, they didn't quite hear them, don't even say them in the right way, but their reaction to what is said. So here it is, verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. But he didn't say he shouldn't die. But, Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry or abide till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, Peter, I'm going to do with you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do with Paul what I'm going to do. I'm going to do with John what I'm going to do. And so having said that, keeping that in mind, God, each one of us individually, there's a time to be born and a time to die. All of us have qualified for the first thing. That means we're alive. Second part of it, we're qualified to die. So we got the first part, the living part. We're going to have the second part, the dying maybe. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, now God, you're telling us to follow. Follow you, Peter, follow. Peter, John, follow all the way to the cross for the outworking of your will, your wonderful plan for our life. Each one is... you have a special plan in a special way. Now, the intenseness of getting to the cross. He didn't tell us to go halfway. He didn't tell us to go three quarters of a way. He tells them to follow. They're going to have to follow him all the way till he takes them home. That's what they have to do. That's the message. You come to know the Lord as your Savior. You're given eternal life. You exercise eternal life until forever. you exercise eternal life forever. When do you stop? You don't. You start the journey and you never end the journey. Now, with that in mind, to get the intenseness, so because you would never know it in the churches or in the country or in the world, because people don't have that. But God gives it to us. Over, if I can, in the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9. And you will note, chapter 9, picking up, if I can, in the whole context, and going, if I may, to verse 23. And he said to them all, I'll read verse 22 even, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, and the chief priests, scribes, be slain, be raised the third day. Our Lord's journey is to go all the way to the cross on our behalf. Verse 23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross. I'm crucified with Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. I have a wonderful life now to exercise. I'm in this body still, but I have to do it. Now, hang on, and go over to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, picking up, I can, in verse 22. 14 and 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. Done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is no room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highway and byway, and they're going to go and communicate. You're going to give yourself to the Lord, and you're going to go and communicate God's wonderful grace. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get saved, and you're going to go forward, and you're going to go. And then people are not that should be coming, aren't coming. So therefore, let everyone know, like in John 1:12, as many as received him. John 1:11, the Jewish people rejected him. John 1:10, the world didn't care. John 1:12, God says, is there anybody? I died for them all. Is there anybody that believes? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over in John and chapter 21 and 22, remember, the Lord said, he shall not die. Now, in order to put that together a little bit so you understand about your life, about my life, that's what I want to do, about us. I got Peter, I got Paul, I got our Lord. Well, what about me? What about us? Now, over, if I can, please, to Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, to help us, and in chapter 3. And just putting together again what we need to understand, be understanding. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, etc., etc., etc. A time, verse 4, time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, time to dance, to jump around. A time is time. Everything has its the opposite. Time to live, a time to die. Now, I got the living part, I'm dying part, chapter 7. And in chapter 7, verse 13, consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In other words, you can't. God's will is, that's what you want, because we can't go and change it. Verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. One, time to beat best, time to have, a time to have not. Consider, verse 14, God also has set the one over against the other. What for? To the end, that man should not find nothing after him. In other words, when you thought you figured out life, the next thing you know, you haven't figured it out. When you thought this worked, but then it doesn't work, and you keep finding out, why? Why can't we ever get all the things straight in order? Why can't we be consistent? Because God made it so that what? We'd have to include God. We can't understand without God. Chapter 7 again, verse 15. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. The bad guy lives 100, and the good guy lives at 30. Good dies at 30. How do you figure that out? Okay, chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed, which we shared earlier in Sunday school, that why doesn't God judge? That's grace of God. It's the grace of God that's taking place. So people do all kinds of things in all kinds of ways. Therefore, verse 11, chapter 8, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set to in them to do evil. What are people going to do? No one's going to say anything. Why can't I go into the grocery store and bring my big shopping cart and fill it up and push it out the door? I don't want to bother the cashier. I'm just going out the door. Why can't I do whatever I want? Why can't I do it? Verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it should be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. The bad guy, envy, all of that, gets in the jealousy, envy. Well, how come they can do it and I can't do it? They get everything, we have nothing. That's true. They may do it 100 times more than you and get away with whatever. But back off, keep a straight line, go down the corridor of time, looking to God, thanking God, God has given you, follow God. God's will for your life, that's what you want. You have a Heavenly Father that knows. Over, if I can, please, add to that, Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, add to that little bit, so you got all of that. So we don't understand how people live and die and come and go. Isaiah 57, and in verse 1, the righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, and none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. And God sometimes spares and takes. In his grace, he knows what's coming. And he takes coming and going. There's a time. Other times, he lets them, like in Revelation 13 and that, he lets the Antichrist kill them. God's doing what he's doing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, put that together in your head if you want to, if you're a believer. What do I know then? Psalm 31. Psalm 31, what is a believer? I'm a believer, being a believer. You want to know the Lord as your Savior. And therefore, 31 verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, said David, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. God, you're going to have to get me through the thick and thin. How did our Lord go through 3 1/3 years when they wanted to kill him? And they couldn't touch him till it was time to go to that cross. When he said, my hour has come, then. But till then, zero. You can't touch him. They hate him. Can't touch him. Now, he had to go to the cross. My times are in thy hand. And, verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you to get me from A to B to C, from square one to the next one, from day one to the next day, from through work, through home, school, each thing. God, one thing at a time, my times are in thy hands. Now, so that's us humans. And we're to have human believers ought to have a unique relationship to God. And we have one. It's a unique oneness with God. Now, simple illustration that may or may not help you. Simple, it's real. You all are living in a human body. No aliens. No one would argue that. No one wants to argue that. Now, the body isn't you. I can cut off your fingers, and you are still the same. I can cut off your leg, and you're still the same. You live inside this body. You enjoy a unique oneness to your body. Do you understand the oneness? Do you know that you can't even distinguish between you and your body? It's part of you, isn't it? You live inside. And you want your heart, your pancreas, all these different things, they're all functioning. And they're functioning, and you are so united to them. You are so oneness with them. You have no idea of being different, though you are. True? Get that part? When that's true physically. And when you die, boom, I move you out of the body, and there's your body laying there in the ground. But right now, you are so one in oneness with your physical life. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, God gives you spiritual life. And God takes, and He's God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And when I receive the Lord as my, and you receive the Lord as your Savior, God gives you spiritual life. A awesome oneness that you have if you're saved. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? You don't feel it. Neither do you feel your physical life, because it's part of you. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you need to understand what happened. You received the Lord as your Savior, and God saved you spiritually. And that's a unique oneness with God, etc. John 17. Now, having that means, you can go home if you have a problem with it. Go home and sit at the table and figure out how to get to divide yourself. Hebrews 4:12 and that. The Spirit of God knows exactly how to divide you up. but you couldn't. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. And you're actually wonderfully, wonderfully made spiritually, physically and spiritually. Now, so that's what I need to understand. God gives me a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. Now, you got that part. Second part, over to John and chapter 14. John and chapter 14. And you will note Now, I'm going to go back, if you would, to put yourself in the thing. Here we are before the resurrection. Here they are in the upper room, and God is delivering all of these wonderful truths, chapter 13 through 17, to the disciples, to the apostles. They're getting an awesome, awesome introduction to God's wonderful, wonderful plan. That's why he said, follow them. Follow me, I should say. Now, so I'm interested, what on earth were they instructed about? What was the instructions that they're going to follow? Why am I going to follow? How far am I going to follow? John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what I'm doing. So that's where I'm going. And if I go and prepare a place for you, which I am, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What are you going to do when you come? That where I am, there you may be also. You're coming to take me. Take me where you are. That's correct. That's what I understand. And how can that be? Verse 4, whether I go, you know, the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether, because the Lord said, you know the way. But they're looking at the way. The Lord is the way. But Philip, Thomas, you didn't get it. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said directly, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. A most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 18. Remember, the Spirit of God is going to come and come. And the Lord Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And comfortless is fatherless. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to leave you here, but you're going to be there. That's what you're going to be. And by the way, while you're here, I'm not going to leave you without the Father. I'm not going to leave you without God's wonderful person and grace. Chapter 17. And you recall our Lord as he comes to the end. Chapter 17 and verse 24. Father, I will that they, in his prayer, also, whom thou hast given me, what is your prayer? Be with me where I am. Where are you? Sitting at the right hand of God. That's where I am. That reason, why do you want me to see that? That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. To understand the wonderful, wonderful, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world is none other than the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I want you to see it. I want you to see the one who took you for 3 1/3 years, the one who went to the cross and hung there, the one who stood before you, resurrected from the grave. I want you to see who he is. I want you to see my magnificent, what God has done. That's why back in 9:23, if we follow him, we take up a cross daily and follow him. Why? He's committed. What are we supposed to do? Off and on, up and down, back and forth, in and out? No, we're supposed to be consistent all the way down the corridor. Follow me. We did all that last time. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, verse 18, chapter 17, their assignment. As thou hast sent me into the world, as the Lord was sent, even so have I also sent them into the world. So God, we're going to go like you did. That's right. And what did you do? I came, I was crucified, and I was risen. God had a wonderful plan for my life. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And for Peter, it's going to be crucifixion. For the Apostle John, he's going to live all the way to 95 plus AD, and he's going to live and be the last living apostle. That's what he's going to, that's my will. That's my will for him. Wow. And I, Peter, I did. Peter, I took, I'm going to take Peter. A year later or so, God takes Paul by Nero. All of that. God, you're doing what you're doing. That's right. That's right. And I want you to understand that. As my Father sent me, so send I you. You have an assignment to be a light in the darkness. That's your assignment, to represent His wonder, our Lord's wonderful, wonderful person. Acts chapter 1. Go to chapter 21 of John and turn the page. Maybe. Acts chapter 1. What do we know? In Acts chapter 1, picking up, please. Going directly to verse 4. And being assembled, that's where they all are going to follow him, all the way to the upper room, waiting for Acts chapter 2 to happen, the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. In other words, he told them to wait. I told you to wait in the upper room. I told you to sit tight. The Spirit of God's coming. Verse 8. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto the uttermost Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful assignment for all believers. Chapter 2. After Pentecost, they're all, what was the power Peter had? What's the message of the believers? And here's Peter, chapter 2, verse 32. I'll read verse 31. Seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We're all witnesses to his awesome, wonderful life. We're following him. That's what we're doing. That's our assignment. Verse chapter 4. Not only ours, but for the church. That's what we're doing sitting here as believers. Chapter 4, verse 33. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness. Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's what we're doing. What's our whole purpose sitting here? We're showing God has risen from the dead, and we have life. We have life. We have living. We're physical alive, but we're spiritually alive. And we don't feel spiritually alive, but we know we're spiritually alive. We know we're physically alive. Most of us. No, we're physically alive now, having said that. And keeping that in mind, so God's showing his wonderful, wonderful grace in his wonderful, wonderful life. And as we, like Romans 6, 23 in that, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God has given us a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful exercise of being able to live, have the gift of life, to exercise the life that has been given to us as a gift. So here they are. Peter lived another 37 years, approximately, and died. And here's the Apostle John, and he lives another 30, 65, 95, wow, years, 65 years or so. Now, and God did that. That's God's will. And sometime, God's will, the person only lives 10 days. God's will. God knows, God does, in his most wonderful, wonderful way, in his wonderful mercy and his wonderful grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so you see that when we'll put it together. Over, if you would, 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 11. Here we are looking at the Lord's table, which we're going to observe tonight, Lord willing, if we make it that far. And you will notice directly in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. That's in the present tense. You are showing You are showing plainly, publicly, openly the Lord's death until he comes. That's what you're doing. We're doing preaching the cross. That's what we're doing. But that's the whole purpose. Remember me. You're going to be what? Reminding yourself and everybody else that Christ died on the cross, and you're showing it. It's a very silent message that speaks very loudly about your relationship to God. That's assuming you're saved. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, God's going to do what he's going to do in his most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, back over to John and chapter 21. And in John and chapter 21, you would recall, we tried to give you a little help and help us understand a little bit about living and dying, and why we live, why we die, and God does what he does with each one of us in his wonderful, wonderful way for his wonderful, wonderful reasons. And God does it in his grace and mercy. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, back to the question, verse 22, if I will that he tarry, abide till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That was his question, and he repeats, and that in verse 23, it repeats it, same thing. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So, now, he wants to tarry to abide. That is where they, verse 24, they said he shouldn't die. That's why they said that. If he tarry till, I don't want him to die. I want him to be abide like a vine in the branch. I want him to abide, to tarry, till I come back. Now, what do we know about coming back? In my Father's house and many mansions and abiding places, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm coming for you. That's what I understand. That's what I understand. I got it. I got it. Now, if I want him to live until I come and take you, it's my business. Now, so, God, what did you help us with? I'm coming. I told you I'm coming to take you home. I want you to be in many mansions, abiding places. I want you to be with me. That's what I want. And I said that. That's the next thing to happen. Some die, but then some may not die. And if I want John to live, now John would be an awful old man if he lived today. But John didn't live. God took him. But God took him way back at the end, Revelation chapter, all of that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, I want him to tarry till I come. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so what do we know about his coming? Now, in the light of that coming business, here's the Apostle John, and he's going to say, I'm waiting for him. If Peter dies and here's John still living, John knew that God said, if I want him to keep living, and if you were Apostle John living and you went down the corridor of time, everyone dies, and you're still alive. 95, 96 AD, you're still alive. He won the Isle of Patmos and all of that. Wow, you're still alive. How long, God, am I going to keep living till you come? The Lord could come at any time. Now, John, and you're done, God's used John as the penman to write, his secretary, and the Apostle John did all that in Revelation. And then when he comes to Revelation, here's John looking. Now, John, tell me the mood and the movement. Revelation chapter 22. And in Revelation chapter 22, picking up, I'm coming to, here's the end. I'm going to read verse 18, 19. Not going to read it, but I can. I testify unto you, unto every man, that he that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man doth add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written therein, in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, shall God take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So they're going to lose out. Don't add and don't leave. You better believe what I said, and I mean what I said, etc. Now, John, here we are looking at you, John. You're the last living apostle, and you were told that you could possibly live until he comes for you. Therefore, chapter 22, picking up in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, which is what we're reading. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride, church, say, come, present, middle, the church. And the Spirit of God is saying, Spirit of God saying, come. The believers that are with it are saying, come. That's the saying, come. I am coming, present tense, coming. And the Spirit in the churches said, come. And let him that heareth say, I'm reading it, and what am I going to say? I'm going to say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And come, that's a command to be coming. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Coming. So what a whole mood. And our Lord, are you going to echo it? John's writing. He said, everyone is to say he's coming. He's coming. Here's John last living, I'm coming. And so when I come to verse 20, and he which testifieth these things, that's our Lord himself, said, surely I am coming quickly, fast. I'm coming, present tense. So everyone, John, how do you end? He's coming. That's what he ends. Lastly, if John's tarrying till he comes, he hasn't come yet. And John's still living when he finished, drops his pen here at the end of verse 22. He puts his pen down and looks up. He's coming. And then somewhere he dies. He dies. Wow. He's coming. That's it. Now, in the light of that, over if I can, are you read? Well, where to go for the time? Where to go? Oh, well, go to that first. First Thessalonians, you read chapter 4. Now, if you didn't know anything else, what do you know? Well, you'd have to know. If you just read what it says, what would you have to know? That the disciples, including John, the last living apostle, were very conscious of what he meant in John 21, 21, 22, 23. They were very conscious of what it dawned. Acts John 14, in my Father's house are many abiding places. They were conscious of it. Here's John at the end. He's very conscious of it. What are they conscious of? He's coming. What would I become in Revelation 17? They that are thirsting. What are we saying? He's coming. So what are believers supposed to be doing? Waiting for the Lord's coming. If I don't know anything else, that's what I know. He's coming. Close the Bible. That's when I walk away, my only thought is he's coming. No matter how you cut the cookie, that's what you know. That's what you have to know. That's what he said. And I have no right to change it. Now, God, you're going to fill in all kinds of pieces to help us understand this awesome event called the rapture, to be taken up. And I know there's all different things, pre-wrath and no wrath and and whatever. Okay. All right. Now, there's no way. It would be good if you understood all that. So, I wish I understood it. Okay. Now, you ought to be, I'm going to read it. 1 Thessalonians 4. A, you'll notice, verse 13, we aren't supposed to be ignorant. Is that all said on that? We aren't supposed to be stupid about this. Okay? Of all the things you can be dumb about, don't be dumb about this. Okay. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep that died, and that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So the people that died, Peter, James, and John, you guys missed out. We're still here. We're waiting. You guys missed out on the rapture. And they look down and say, no, we didn't. They say, hang on. No, they can't look down. So forget that. Forget that. Angels are pretty good at keeping an eye on you, but not them. They got other things to do. Wouldn't you understand that? Why would you be in heaven looking down at the government in Washington, D.C.? Why would you be doing that? What on earth would be wrong with you? You know. Anyway, now. So, keeping going, just quickly. And in verse 15, but we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not hinder them which are asleep. In other words, Peter, James, and John are not going to lose out. Together, we're together. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, taken up by force, be reached down and boom, taken up by force. And shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's what's going to happen. What for? To come to find a place in New York City somewhere? No. To be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Where are we going to go? In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. I want you to be there. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then. Theologically write 25 essays and 35 books on what I meant and be all over the place. No. Be comforted. Be encouraged. I didn't ask you to sit and analyze it. Be encouraged. I said something. Do you understand? I don't know. Is it mill, pre-mill, post-mill, no-mill? Whatever, you know, pre-trib, write in the book. I read this book, and 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 this one says this, and this one says that. And God said, listen, why don't you just look up? I said, comfort, be comforted, be encouraged. You notice verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I got it. That's what to say. Now get rid of all the stuff. And you're going to be all over the place. People are with the wrath and the pre-trib. When's the great trib? When's the tribulation? And boy, all over the place. Yeah. Nope. I said, I'm coming. As I just said, present tense. I'm in the process of coming. I don't go by time. You go by time. I go by everything in order. I don't use time. In fact, when you drop dead, you'll cease time here, and you'll be timeless. When your heart stops beating, you will enter into timelessness. And then you'll know. God said, I'm not going by time. I'm coming at any moment. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, therefore, what are we going to do in closing? I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to help you put the pieces together so you understand how long am I going to live? Am I going to live till he comes? That's what I'm going to say. Am I going to live? I said that. You remember Larry and all those other dear people? And we were there, and Larry was getting older then, and we said it. And I would say, I said, you know, we're getting older. We're all getting older. But we don't, I have other people that aren't even here because they're sick and they've got weakness and all kinds of things. What are they? What were they doing? They were hoping we'd come and all go, what, together. That's what they're looking. And that's what Peter, I said, God, but if you keep waiting, we're creatures of time and we're going to die. But that isn't a problem. That isn't a problem. What's the difference? God's going to take you at his right time. At the right time, he died on the cross for how many people from Adam to the millennium? How many people did he die for? People are going to have some children, babies, right now somewhere. And those babies, he died for them. And the babies of the babies' babies, he died for them. God's going to finish what he's doing to the right moment in his grace to take the believers home. That's what he's going to do. And then comes chapter 5 and verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to the wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he has done. No wrath. Be encouraged. Be comforted. I'm coming. Present tense. I'm coming. And the last statement he makes, I am coming quickly. Now, what more can you want? How many believers are looking for us? They don't even believe. You'd never hear that, even this thought about his coming. Believers aren't. They're going to church to fulfill their whatever. That's what they do. And they come and they go and do whatever. But they aren't looking for his coming. No. They're just trying to work out their own life here on earth. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, help us. Help us that we might grow and know and learn. And God, thank you very, 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 very much in the light of it all. And our Father will thank you and thank you again. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for being an awesome Savior. Thank you for being able to save us 1,000% all the way to forever. And our God, we thank you. So, if anyone knows you not, God may convince them, and God may each believing heart get somehow a little motivated, a little moved, a little refreshed, a little excited somehow about any moment. Here we are in your presence, and at any moment, we're going to be in your presence. And our God, we thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.